Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Und starting Parashat Vayikra.
Sefer
Vayikra, Parashat Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav Moel Moed Leim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu calls Moses and talks to him. But 1 minute, who is calling him? Vayikra el Moshe.
Hashem.
Where is it written?
He spoke to him.
He spoke to him, yes. So but who is calling him?
It's continued properly from the last one.
But it doesn't say
Bah. We have Vayikra.
It would say Bah.
It's Vayikra. It is Va.
It is Va.
But the point is very interesting. People don't always notice. But normally it would be Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Vayitzav Hashem et Moshe. And it's written, Vayikra el Moshe.
Well, it's because he spoke to him, you take it for granted he's the one.
Yeah, I know that we take it, but the question is, why is it not written? So, and it's a very interesting point.
So why?
It's a very interesting term.
Well, and
thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And it's all connected to the small Aleph. Vayikra. You see, Vayikra, not everybody likes to talk about Vayikra. Oh, it's Bereshit stories, Shmot stories, Bamidbar stories, Dvarim stories. Vayikra is boring. Like, it's not, but it's really so not boring. It's so not boring if we understand what is behind the story. And there is a story. And for example, it starts with Vayikra, a small Aleph. Why a small Aleph? Why is it a small Aleph in Vayikra? So there are a few interesting explanations. One of them is, we are going to, on this Shabbos, to say Parashat Zachor. What is Parashat Zachor? By the way, I say this is the Oraita. So we all have to come to Shul and listen to Parashat Zachor. Men and women, because I say it's the Oraita.
This Shabbos,
yes. Parashat Zachor. So Parashat Zachor, what is it all about?
Amalek.
זכור את אשר עשה לך עמלק בדרך וצחם וצחם, אשר קרחה בדרך. קרחה, ויקרא, it's similar. So, what is קרחה? קרחה happened. What is ויקרא without the אלף? ויקר, also, just happened. מקרה. ויקר, מקרה. In other words, all the things around us, עמלק is trying to convince us that it's not God doing. We can change it. We can do whatever we want to. Or we are in the hand of nature. But nature is something that, you know, if you know how to fight it, you can win it. That's why Amalek goes and fights Am Israel. And we have to remember this. Why do we have to remember it? Because unfortunately we have the same problem. We don't see the small Aleph. And by the way, Aleph is Alufo Shel Olam, which is God. We don't see God. We don't hear God. That's why God is not mentioned here. Because Moshe hears God. But we don't see him. We don't hear him. Why? Because we are so busy listening to ourselves that we've got no time to listen to others and definitely not to God. So the first lesson for us is to understand and realize that whatever happens around us is God calling us and talking to us. You know, with Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe he talked in a different way, but he talks with each one of us. The problem is that we don't see it and we don't hear it. And that's why we read Parashat Zachor, to remind us, who is this guy inside us that tries to convince us that things just happen. That those who control the world are Ahmadinejad, Donald Trump, Bibi Netanyahu, what are all the new names we have today, Lapid, and
Schmanz and Gantz and Schwanz,
but they are not, yeah, Aganz and Schwanz, but they are not controlling anything. And it's so important to understand it, because we are so involved, and we so live in this world, that we think that, really, we are doing something. But the real thing is that the only thing we do is Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim.
It's very
The fear of God is the only thing we can change, we can do. This is in our hands. All the other things are already controlled by God. The only thing that we can do is to use our will, which is the acid of the human being, a will, because somebody with no will is nothing. We need to do things. We need the will to do things. What to do? Go in the way of God. And God, like the Rabbi Adam Sinai writes, God is testing us. It's like sometimes we have terrible times, difficult times, and we think to ourselves, oh, what have I done? And how am I going to cope with it? So we have to remember that first of all, who is doing it?
Hashem.
God. God loves us?
Yes.
He's our Father in heaven. He loves us, of course. So whatever He does is for our own benefit. Sometimes it's hard, but it's like a training. In order to become a better person, you have to go through training. In order to get a better place in the next world, which is the real world, this world is only something that passes very quickly. It's not real. It's only a test. It's on our way to get to the next world. But when we do this, we have to remember, understand that that's what it is. That's why we have to look and see the small aleph. It's not a mikre. That's what Amalek is trying to convince us. It's everything from God. Everything that happens around is from God.
Here, say in English, another thing that is allusion, the little aleph is allusion to the children, little children that they begin to study Basefer Vayikra.
Yeah. It's also one of the interesting issues. That children start to learn from Vayikra, which is also very interesting.
Sorry, what can you say?
The children, Kita Aleph, let's say Kita Aleph, mm-hmm. they start learning from Vayikra. Don't start from Bereshit, not from Sol, start from Vayikra.
Because of the sacrifices are pure.
Because we're not.
Say here.
I started Vayikra.
It's all in a game. It's not.
But one explanation because why? Because the children are pure, like if korban has to be pure.
Yeah,
that's why.
Also, the small aleph is telling us about Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the reasons that we cannot sometimes hear God is because we are very proud. But if we be humble, like Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did, God is calling him. Vayikra! Wow, this is something unbelievable. But he makes it small. He doesn't want to make himself big. So he says, Vayikra, in a small aleph. Because God reveals himself to the goyim, to the prophets of the goyim, by mikre, by accident. It's not like intentionally, or it's not at the same level that he reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to show off, so he writes a small aleph. So we see that on the beginning, we have a lot of interesting points about what we can learn from one small letter. Not even a bigger letter, small letter. So, Vayikra el Moshe, and God talks to him. What are we talking here? We're talking here about sacrifices.
Yeah.
What is a sacrifice? And if we talk about sacrifice, what does it mean today? Because we are not really bringing sacrifices to the temple. The temple is not here, unfortunately. So, what is a sacrifice?
To make tshuva.
What? Let's see in Hebrew, what is the meaning of the...
Leitkarev.
Korban.
Leitkarev. To come closer to Hashem.
Leitkarev. It's also leakriv. If I sacrifice something for myself, then what happens? I get closer to God. So the korban mekarev oti to God.
So we've got to do something korban.
Okay, so what is a sacrifice today? To sacrifice as it is. Somebody is doing certain mitzvah. So you're telling, wow, he's sacrificing himself for this mitzvah. That's a sacrifice. Somebody takes from his time to do good. It's a sacrifice. Somebody wakes in the middle of the night to learn Torah. It's a sacrifice. Somebody does, I don't know, helps yeshiva bochot to learn. Somebody helps disabled children. Whatever you do, whatever you sacrifice on yourself is a sacrifice. That's the meaning of sacrifice. So, okay, so what do we need to do in a sacrifice? Because we have a whole book talking about sacrifices. So we have to learn. What's the idea?
So you are doing a sacrifice here when you give the shulim.
Yes.
And we.
And you are doing a sacrifice coming to listen to me, which is a bigger sacrifice. The point is that we must remember that the Aleph is there. Because we do all those things and we don't always think about them. So, okay, it's good that we do them. But it's much better if we think that we're doing it for God. Now, doing it for God is also a very interesting point. When we do something for the Klal, for Am Yisrael, it's doing it for God. We have to understand it. That's the way it works. That's why Rabbi Akiva says, "Ve'after hakamocha ze klal gadol b'torah." That's the basic. Because if you love your fellow man, you love God. So whatever we do in a sacrifice, God doesn't need our sacrifice. We have to understand it. That's also another important point. Some people think, sacrifice. Okay, I give a donation. And then I go and do all the things I'm used to do.
Eat trash.
Whatever. He goes to the rabbi, asks for a blessing, gives him a donation, and everything is okay. And always when we talk about it, it reminds me, I think I told you about it. I'm still working with this German firm that makes chairs, office chairs. And they export managers years ago. We were talking one day and he was telling me that he was a very Orthodox Christian. Like he was really, really, very religious. And he left it all. He says, why? What happened? He says, you know, one day I came to the church and I go to confess to the priest. And I tell him what I did. He says, okay, no problem. Say Maria whatever, 200 times, whatever. And donate 100 euro, 100 mark it was at that time. He says, okay. And you know, if you want, you can give 200 for next week also. When he heard this, he says, that's it, I finished. What does it mean? I didn't even do the sin yet, and he's already repenting me on the sin that I didn't do. What is this? And this is exactly the point. You think you go to a rabbi to get a blessing, and then you can go and do whatever you want. You repent already. Why? That's not the way it works. It's like, okay, I gave a donation, now I can go and do and sin. It doesn't work this way. So we have to understand that the sacrifice has to be Reach Nichoach LaHashem. The Torah says again and again, Reach Nichoach LaHashem. What is Reach Nichoach?
A nice smell for Hashem.
A nice smell. What is a nice smell for Hashem? What is the smell? What is the smell? When do you smell things?
All the time.
When it's fresh.
All the time. Okay.
Yeah. But there's something that you don't can feel. You can only...
That it's nice.
But the source of the smell, is it something you can feel?
No.
Yes.
Why not?
Of course.
The smell comes from somewhere.
Perfume, flower.
And that's the point. We'll come in a minute. The smell is not something by itself.
Yeah.
It's a smell of something. In other words, when you smell something that you know, you are waiting to see the certain object that you smell. If you smell good flowers, you expect to see a flower. Okay, I'm very hungry. I'm coming home, and I smell this good smell. Wow! Oh, what a dinner is waiting for me.
Let's leave stools.
Unfortunately, it's a waste. So when I get to go inside, I've got nothing on the table. So I am disappointed. Very disappointed. I'm very angry. And the smell makes it even worse. You know, they had this advertisement a few years ago of, I think it was Burger Ranch or whatever. The advice was that they're showing you a party, and this, what is hell? What is hell? They show this guy, he's got this special helmet that closes his mouth. He can see, he can smell, but he cannot eat. That's hell. And you know, it's so clever if you think about
just like Jay-Z.
It. Yeah. If you think about it, so clever. So, what is the idea of Reach Nichoach LaHashem? God tells us, you want to bring a sacrifice? I want to smell a Reach Nichoach. What does it mean? I want that the smell of the Korban will lead me
to where you are.
To something good. If it smells good, you have to do good. In other words, the smell is only something that tells us about what's going to happen next. And if there is nothing happening next, it's a big disappointment for God. Like when I went and I smelled the smell, and it was from the next door neighbor, and I didn't give anything to it, I was very disappointed. So God is going to be very disappointed with us if we've been a sacrifice with nothing behind it. So that's Reach Nechoach LaHashem. You don't just come and bring a sacrifice. You bring a sacrifice in order to fix yourself and to do good. So this is Reach Nechoach LaHashem. Another interesting point when we talk about korbanot, kol seor ve kol dvash lo taktiu. It's in.
So what is taktiu?
Oh, you gave me a nice kumbush. If I find this, I have to go to 100 pages. Yes.
Sorry. Now, sacrifice you want this? Has been taken okay. By prayer.
Sorry, 1 minute.
Sacrifice.
Yes, yes, yes. Generally speaking, yes. Change. But.
And it's what?
Everything. But as we said, a sacrifice can be whatever you give from yourself to God.
But what you said that if you give, you know, you do a mitzvah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Got to be not for the, to show everybody else.
Exactly, not to show off.
It's got
to
be, you know.
Comes from your heart.
So, you know, you do a mitzvah. With
exactly.
Genuine.
Okay, Pasuk, Yudalef. Okay, Yudalef. Says like this. Kol ha-mincha, Pasuk Yud Aleph, yes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Bet. Chapter 2, Pasuk Yud Aleph, 11.
Just
after
Bet.
Got it?
Yes.
Now, okay. Kol ha-mincha, asher takrivu la-Hashem, lo te'aseh hametz. By the way, you're not allowed to bring chometz to Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
There are only two sacrifices that involve chometz, which is Korban Todah and the two bread that we have on Shavuot. Lechem HaTameleh, the two bread. Oh, we'll leave it. Otherwise, everything must be matzah, no chometz. So we can understand chometz. Chometz is a symbol of we approaching Pesach also. It's a symbol of
pride.
It's a symbol of something that looks big from the outside, there's nothing in, because chametz is growing, but it's the same. The acid is very something small that grows because of the yeast that is in it.
The yeast.
So in other words, it's not a real value. It looks big, but the real thing is, it's not so big. So the Torah says, Kichol se'or, no yeast, וכל דבש לא תקריבו ממנו אישה להשם. What is דבש? Honey.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to sacrifice honey. To bring honey with your sacrifice. Why? What's so wrong with being... Yes, what's so wrong to be bring honey? By the way, the honey we talk about here is not bee honey.
No.
It's fruit honey.
Tamar.
Dates,
for Dates. Example, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, if we go a little further... We will see in Pasuk 13, V'chol korban minchancha b'melach timlach lo tashbit melach brit elokecha ma'al minchatecha al kol korbancha takriv melach. Salt. Three times. Salt. What is so important about salt and why? Not only you allow to bring salt, you have to bring salt. No sacrifice can be accepted if you don't bring salt with it.
Wasn't salt very scarce at that time?
Sorry?
Salt. I always understood it was scarce. It wasn't very much around. It's very expensive to buy.
Could be.
Yes.
Not in Israel, maybe.
No.
They weren't in the desert.
It's a preservative.
And the old times, if you were no fridge, if you didn't have a fridge, the way to keep food is
salt.
Yes.
So salt preserves, and salt, by the way,
cannot be destroyed.
And it also, which brings us to the honey of the fruit. At what stage of the fruit do we get honey?
When it's almost ripe.
Will it be to it?
Mekalkel.
For fall.
When it's rotten.
Rotten.
It's, let's say it's the last minute before it's rotten. Yeah. Then you cannot have honey from a fruit if it's not ripe. Mm-hmm. There is no honey.
No.
It's dry. And the, let's say, the rotten it gets, more honey you've got.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's think. God is telling us you should not bring honey. Why? Because honey really is a symbol of something that
is rot.
Ends. Finished. Rotten. And korban, if you change the letters, is can be rikavon. The same
can
letters.
Be what?
Rikavon, rot, rotten.
Ah.
Korbani, rikvoni.
So you can,
it's the same letters. You change the letters, it's rikavon. In other words, as we say, when you bring a sacrifice, it has to have reach nichoach. But if this, if it's something to that is rot, so there is no reach nichoach. So, and also, when you bring a sacrifice, it's showing that I'm starting a new way. I'm fixing my way. I'm not going in a dead end. I'm going to start a new beginning. And a new beginning, which is going to last, hopefully, forever. And what lasts forever?
Salt.
So, yes, you will bring salt, but you won't bring honey. Because honey is a symbol of an end, and salt is a symbol of a beginning and no end, doesn't rot, stays forever, which is what we're wishing for the next world.
Salt grows.
Salt is also, if you dry the water, you will find
like the deep sea. What's the deep sea?
A white dust. The white dust is salt. In other words, one of the acids of the water is really salt, which is the acid of the creation. And what is water? Torah. Mm-hmm. In other words, we see that everything is connected. We just have to look and find it. It's not, so suddenly we understand the Sefer Vayikra is not just talking about sacrifices like at the temple. It's just thinking about how we should behave. What we should do. How should we look at life? So we always should look at life not that we are the end stage. We're always in a new beginning. We're always going to fix and do good things. That's the way to look. And that's the way to sacrifice. If you want to be in a sacrifice, I have to be in a sacrifice that has a reach nichoach, that there is something behind it. Not go to the rabbi, bless me, rabbi, I give you a donation, and then go and do what you normally do. Which is, of course, not the right way.
Yeah.
And one of the things is to understand and realize that in order to do the right thing, we have to listen to our sages. We have to listen to our rabbis. And, you know, always I'm hearing this question, who is the rabbi? What? How do you choose the rabbi? Yes, it's a big question. Everybody has to listen to himself and realize who is his rabbi. Who is going to tell him why, how, and what to do? Aaron HaKohen dies. And everybody is sad about it. Because he was keeping the peace. He was pursuing peace. And Aaron and Moshe, by the way, are, as we say a lot of times, are one. Each one has got his own job, but together they did the same job. When we talk about Purim, what was the problem of Purim? Talking about Harun, Kohen Gadol, talking about the Mishkan, talking about the temple, talking about the sacrifice. Says the Gemara, the sin of Am Yisrael in Purim was Shene'enu Mese'udato Sheloto Rasha. They enjoyed the meal of this evil guy. Who is the evil guy?
Achashverosh.
He did a feast. And he invited everybody to come and eat and drink. And by the way, everything was kosher.
The kelim was from Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah. Not only the kelim. He was wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol. Achashverosh. And
nobody said
there were a lot of other things. For example, this guy is inviting his wife to come dressed with nothing. So imagine to yourself how this feast looks. You know, I always remember years ago, I went to a bar mitzvah. A neighbor invited me to a bar mitzvah. And we're sitting in the near the table, on the tables in the hall, and suddenly music, and ballet dancers coming in, half naked, carrying the bar mitzvah boy on a stage.
In Hawaii?
On a
chair.
On a, not a chair, it was like this big thing, it's sitting there with
okay.
A throne. Yes, like
so, and you think to yourself, bar mitzvah? This is a bar mitzvah. Now, what should you do?
What you did?
Cry.
I stayed, but a neighbor left, and he was right, and I was wrong.
Ah, the neighbor.
No, the neighbor of the table, not the neighbor there. The bar mitzvah. But you think the funny thing is that people are so sometimes doing things that are so not normal. You know, you don't realize. You do a bar mitzvah.
So what did you say?
And they were dirty?
Well,
yeah.
No.
Because you were afraid to offend your neighbor.
Yes, there was good food. I was afraid to offend the neighbor. It was not nice. And it was, of course, kosher. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when you read the Megillah, you understand and realize that this is wrong. Especially if you go, they were sitting there, seeing Ahasuerus wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol, using the
kelim
from Beit HaMikdash. And then on top of this, you had who knows what girls were low, what they did there, who knows? No? So what if it's kosher? So what if it's good, a good meal? You know what? Eat and go. But what is the Gemara saying? Enjoy! They enjoy themselves. And that was the sin. It was such a great sin that Esther Amalka is asking Mordechai, on what was this sin? Al ze ol ma ze? And ze is ze eli v'anveu. What was it going against God? Was it again idol worshipping? Or was it going against the Torah? And what is Mordechai answering her? Ben bno shel Karau. It's Amalek. What is Karau? We can answer again to the Mikre. By accident, it just happened. And this is Amalek. And Haman is one of the descendant of Amalek. Okay. So now, let's understand another interesting thing about Vayikra. Kara, Karau. What is Kar?
Cold.
And Kara is also cold.
So he called the
Kara is a, let's say, how do you call it? It's like
ice?
Yes, it's a freeze, like a very freezing weather. Kara, they call it Kara in Hebrew. Says, I don't remember who it was, it's written in Ten Chelkeinu. It's very, very, very nice idea. He says, the problem, says Mordechai to Esther Amalka, is that Am Yisrael are cold. You know, when somebody is ill, very ill, as long as his body's got still body heat,